going to tie up a loose end from yesterday. Yesterday, I ended. How about that? I ended a two-part series on not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Just when you thought I wouldn't even get to it, I'm finished with it. Look at that. That's how the snatching away is going to be. We think it's never going to get here, and then one of these days, we're going to talk about it in the past tense. Looking forward to that day. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Yeah, you have not forsaken the assembling of yourselves together if you are with another person. And as I said yesterday, let me straighten up something from the end of yesterday's show. Jesus said, you know, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And we often talk about how the gospel of the uncircumcision, Paul's gospel, surpasses in every aspect the gospel of the circumcision. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name. Two or three. What about only one? Well, let's take it even farther. What if you're by yourself? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, 4:16, at my first defense, no one came along with me, but all forsook me. May it not be reckoned against them. Verse 17, yet the Lord stood beside me, and he invigorates me, that through me the heralding may be fully discharged and all the nations should hear. And I am rescued out of the mouth of the lion. There you go. The Lord stood beside me. He invigorates me. You don't even need two or three. Remember, it was a big deal for the Hebrews to gather in the synagogue, get together, celebrate the Passover and the other feasts, especially the big meal at Passover. Jews do it today. They're totally misguided. Sorry, repeated myself there. So with Jews, there's more of a community, but it's necessary community. It's required community. With us, it's not required. We want it and we should seek it. And every time we have the meeting in Johnstown, we have the quarterly meeting. That would be once every 3 months, right? I'm glad for it because I realize when I get together with all the other believers how important it is. Now, we practically have a conference every day here where I live. There's 11 or 12 people here every day. I don't know. I lost count. All believers. Even Steve and Amy Hill's kids. Ariana and Jake Hill, they're believers. And their kids, I don't know, what is it, 7, 8 years old? They're believers. I'm surrounded by believers. It's a blessed place to be. So I can't possibly forsake the assembly. It's surrounding me. And you haven't either. So in the body of Christ, though, even if you were by yourself, you're not by yourself. Because the Spirit of God now makes his home in you. And Paul counted the company of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the only one with him, who the only one stood with him at his first defense in Rome. He invigorated him somehow by a spiritual infusion of confidence or power or energy. And so when you're by yourself, you're not alone. Now, having said that, you're going to get weird if you hang out by yourself too long. You really are. You're going to get weird. You're going to have strange thoughts. You're not going to have people to bounce your ideas off from. I know people who have secluded themselves to their detriment. And I'm not saying you don't want to get away and be by yourself for a couple days, for a weekend, maybe a week, maybe. But that's pushing it. You need to get fellowship and you need to have people to balance you. Because people get weird. Look at Howard Hughes. You know, the guy's filling up hundreds of milk bottles with his own urine. And he's watched the movie Ice Station Zero like 500 times. The guy was a kook because he secluded himself. Nuns are kooks. I only met one normal nun my entire Catholic scholastic career. And she gave up nunhood to begin a singing career. I think she went to Las Vegas. Sister was her name. Sister Lorene. Sister Lorene. Yeah, she was quite attractive. She was a nilf. And, all right, figure that one out. And she could sing, and she had an angelic voice. Ooh, she sang these songs for us And we thought, wow, what's she doing in that nun suit? What's she doing in that crazy freako getup? Well, she turned in that freako getup for better freako getups and went to Vegas and became a lounge singer. Good for her. Good for her. So she gave up her NILF career and became a lounge singer in Las Vegas. God bless Sister Lorene, wherever you are today. Thank you for all you did for us. Now, where was I? Oh, I'm not sure. I got thrown off by Sister Lorene there back in seventh grade. Now, let's go on in Hebrews. I think I covered that. If you have any questions, good luck with those. So Hebrews 10:26. For at our, now this, I'm going to read passage verse 26 through 31. I'm going to try not to comment, but tell me if you think this sounds anything like our gospel. Now, if you don't know how to distinguish between Paul's gospel and Peter's gospel, between the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision, this verse is going to throw you off. Because you're going to go into Romans and read all about your justification, all about how you can have peace with God, and how when sin increases, grace super exceeds. We don't come into judgment. We stand at the dais of Christ, not the judgment seat. Oh, by the way, when the videos come out, I'll tell you when the videos from the Pennsylvania Conference this past weekend come out. Clyde's talk on the dais of Christ, it was wonderful. And it talked about Paul's use of the phrase that day. Everything you're looking for, folks, is going to happen in that day. I'm going to tell you when that video series comes out. Aaron's working on it. Making great progress, I do believe. So as I read this, this clashes with everything Paul says. So you have one of two alternatives. Either the scriptures contradict themselves, or this passage from Hebrews is meant for Hebrews, and it's part of the Jewish gospel, which has to do with works, has to do with law, has to do with you can miss out on it, has to do with producing fruit, has to do with behaving yourself and not doing anything really stupid. We, on the other hand, in the body of Christ, we can sin like stupid people, and grace super exceeds it. Hey, that's not me. It's Romans 5:20, where sin increases, grace super exceeds sin. You might as well say where stupidity increases, where lawlessness increases, where disobedience increases, where lasciviousness increases, grace super exceeds. Now, here's the passage. Starting in verse 26, going to go down to 31. For at our sinning voluntarily, after obtaining the recognition of the truth, it is no longer leaving a sacrifice concerned with sins, but a certain fearful waiting for judging and fiery jealousy. A certain fearful waiting for judging and fiery jealousy, about to be eating the hostile. Eating the hostile, like Pac-Man. Eating the hostile. Does that sound like our evangel of grace? If you're hostile, you're about to be eaten. That's the word here. It's a accurate translation. I'm reading out of the Concordant Literal New Testament. A certain fearful waiting for judging. Paul says we don't come into judgment. We're requited. We're rewarded at the dais of Christ. Proper translation, not the judgment seat of Christ. There is no judgment in Christ. We're not judged. We're awarded. We're applauded. And the bad stuff in our life's taken away. Clyde explains it masterfully in his talk on the bima in the Greek, the dais of Christ, Greek word bima, not a judgment seat. No longer leaving a sacrifice with sins? No wonder people read Hebrews and they lose any peace they got out of Romans or any of Paul's letters, especially Ephesians. Instead, they're waiting for judging and fiery jealousy, about to be eating the hostile. Listen to this, verse 21. Anyone repudiating Moses' law is dying without pity on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Fact. That was a fact under the Mosaic law. Anyone repudiating Moses. You don't come against Moses without consequence. Ask the sons of Korah. Anyone repudiating Moses' law is dying without pity on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment are you supposing will he be counted worthy who tramples on the Son of God and deems the blood of the covenant by which he is hallowed contaminating and outrages the spirit of grace? In other words, I knew I wouldn't get through verse 31 without commenting. In other words, we have one greater than Moses here, which is the burden of this entire epistle of Hebrews, that we have a better, greater, superior, living, not dying, once and for all Savior. And if you trampled Moses, if you repudiated Moses and you died without pity, what do you think is going to happen when you repudiate one so much greater than Moses, the Son of God? What if you outrage the Spirit of grace? What then? Verse 29, you outrage the Spirit of grace. Now verse 30, for we are acquainted with him who is saying, mine is vengeance, I will repay, the Lord is saying, and again, the Lord will be judging his people. Verse 31, fearful is it to be falling into the hands of the living God. Dang, I'm glad that's not my gospel. I'm glad that's not my gospel. I can read it and learn from it and teach you about it, but that is not my gospel. It's not good news. It's good news in a way, in the sense that now you're putting your trust and confidence in someone better than Moses, and this one is going to take you all the way through the promised land, but you don't have to do as much now, but they had to embrace him, they had to, and they had to prove it by their works. They could not repudiate the cross as the leaders in Israel did in Acts chapter 5. Chapter 4 and 5, they repudiated the blood of the cross. They thought they were these holy roller champions of Moses, but they were posers, fakers, because they would have, as the wording here says, they would have repudiated Moses had they been alive in that day. They would have been some of the complainers. They would have been one of the ones who assembled the false tabernacle, like the sons of Korah. So it's a big deal, and Jesus said this, it's a big deal to reject the testimony of the Spirit. He said, you know, if you reject me, that'll be forgiven, but if you reject the Spirit who sends me, that's the aeonian sin. We're not talking about somebody, all this judging here, this fearful looking for judging, this Pac-Man eating of the irreverent, this is aeonian only. Aeonian only does not mean you're eternally lost, not even the worst Jew that ever lived. No Judas, no Caiaphas, none of those fools are going to miss out on eternal life, but they sure did repudiate the Son of God, and they're going to miss out on aeonian life. All right, I'm going to contrast more of this tomorrow with our evangel. I'm going to tell you why this is not your evangel. I'm going to help you understand that you got to read Hebrews very, very carefully. You have to read the Psalms very carefully. You have to read Numbers, Leviticus, Exodus. You have to read all those very carefully, because if you take that to yourself, you're going to miss out on the peace and grace. You're going to make it cancel out the peace, grace, conciliation we have in Jesus Christ. I don't want you to do that. We're going to keep things straight here, and I just love making sense for a living.